Hey everyone, this is Megan. Preparing for my VBA 2C was pretty lonely at times. This is why I, along with Julie, created a Facebook community for all the parents preparing for their VBACs. You can find the link to the community in the episode notes today, or head over to facebook.com and search the VBAC Link Community. This is our safe space to share our stories, tips, and advice on how to achieve a VBAC and ask each other questions. Just remember, studies show 60 to 80% of people who attempt a VBAC will be successful. We're here for each other on this journey. To join, go over to facebook.com and search the VBAC Link Community and start feeling the love and support today. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. We have our friend Denise from New York City with us today. Hello, Denise.
Hi.
I am so excited for you to be sharing your stories. You are a VBAC after two C-section mama, just like myself.
Yes, I am.
Yes. That's right. And when we were talking about kind of the C-section aspect of things, it reminded me a little bit of myself. Didn't dilate, baby didn't come down. Well, What do we know? We know that this is a very common thing. In addition to Denise, we have a special co-host with us today, and her name is Gina Benson. Hello, Gina.
Hi.
And she is one of our VBAC doulas. Tell us where you're at, Gina.
I'm in the Sacramento area of California, based in Roseville.
Okay. All right. And then we're going to make sure that she has her website and everything. So if you guys are in her area looking for a doula, go check her out for sure. And she is going to do a review of the week for us today. So I'll turn the time over to you.
All right. I've waited and prayed about this moment. To be able to write the words, "I got my VBAC," feels surreal. 2 years ago, I gave birth to my daughter via cesarean, and since the OR, I have been dreaming of a VBAC. It felt like a primal right I was robbed of. Yesterday, I gave birth at home with gestational diabetes to a 9-pound, 2-ounce baby. I pushed him out of my vagina, pulled him out of the water, and sobbed in joy, relished in my redemption and power. This would not have been possible without the VBAC link. I listened every day postpartum, sobbed and cheered with all the women of strength. I cannot recommend this podcast enough to all expecting parents. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh my gosh, do you guys have the chills? Because I like literally have the chills. You know when you, as a woman, you shave your legs and then you get the chills and you're like, oh, I just felt like my leg hairs grow. Yeah, that just happened. Oh my gosh, thank you for such an amazing review and huge congratulations. I'm so glad that, you know, you've been able to walk the walk with us during the VBAC link. This is why we're here. We want to help inspire, encourage, empower, and help you just know what, for yourself, know what's best for you. And we don't judge here in the VBAC link, but we really, really do love and love your reviews. So thank you so much. Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC link podcast. I am a VBAC after two C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional. Okay, so that review also kind of talked a little bit about big baby, which Denise also had a larger baby with her VBAC after two C-section baby. So I feel like there's so many things that's going to come together within this review, within everything. So Denise, I want to turn the time over to you to share your, well, I guess two C-sections to start, and then your VBAC.
Perfect. Thank you. So hi, everybody. I am Dr. Denise DeRosa. I'm a pediatric physical therapist. I feel like I have to lead with that because a lot of who I am is what I do. And that with motherhood is all kind of merged together and really helped me in my journey for a successful VBAC. So we'll start at the beginning with my first baby. I was pregnant. Everything was going great. Everything's wonderful. I was still working. Uncomplicated pregnancy. The only thing that was a little off was that the baby was measuring big. I'm like, okay, whatever. It should be fine. Those machines are like way off anyway. So I go to 40 weeks, 40 and one, 40 and two, 40 and three. I'm like 40 and 5 days. And my doc's like, all right, I want to induce you tomorrow. I'm like, okay, sounds good. I don't know anything. I worked at the hospital as well. So I'm just like trusting, we got this. We're good. I love my doctor. Everything's going great. That night before I went in to get induced, I actually did start feeling something. Like, what is that? It's like, feels like cramps or something. I don't know. 3 a.m. I'm like, oh, I think I'm in labor. Like, hon, get up. We got to go to the hospital. Let's go. Let's go. I get to the hospital. It's 3 a.m. and I'm 3 centimeters dilated. And I'm like, oh, okay. I guess that's good. I don't know. So we get all the things, the epidural, the Pitocin, and I pretty much just lay in the bed, sleep, do puzzle game on my iPad, relax, because that's what they tell me to do. Yeah, no problem. It's very easy for me to relax now. So it's got to be like 11 a.m. the next day. I'm like, oh, I feel a little bit different. I'm like, can I be checked? I get checked. I'm 10 centimeters. Wonderful, beautiful. Turn off everything. And you know, when they turn off that epidural, it's like, bam, like, wow, this is intense.
Especially when you were not feeling anything before.
Exactly.
It can definitely pick up and be a little bit more than you were maybe expecting.
Yes. So I am in a semi-Fowler's position, which is the one where you're essentially like lean back, but not all the way back. You know, you're like inclined at a 45 degree angle. And my hips and knees are at 90-90. So essentially it's like I'm sitting on the toilet, but lean back, right? I'm sure everybody knows the position I'm talking about. That's a position to push. So my husband's holding one leg, the nurse is holding the other leg, my doctor's telling me to push, and it's just a disaster. I have to be honest with you. It was crazy because I didn't know how to push. So he's telling me to push like I'm pooping, and I'm pushing like I'm holding it in. And everything was spasming, and everything was not, it was just a disaster. I remember saying, let me get up. Let me move my body. I'm a physical therapist. Let me move my body. I just need to get up and move around a little bit and I'll be good. I just let me get up. No, you can't get
intuition.
Up. You have a catheter in.
Your intuition was kicking in. Move.
Yeah, exactly. My pelvis was stuck in the position. I was just laying there. The only thing they did was flex my knees up and down. I think they got the peanut ball at one point, but that didn't, it's not like I went sideline, right? There was no internal, external rotation. It was just one plane movement. Anyway, I pushed for 2 hours and nothing happened. And my doctor's like, all right, why don't we give you a break? I'll turn on the meds, relax for an hour, and then I'll come back and we'll push again for an hour. I'm like, okay, sounds good. I need a break. Wonderful. A rest. And he's like, but you know, if nothing happens, we're going to have to get the C-section. I'm like, okay, well, let me try again. No food, no water, only Jell-O, ice chips. Now I hadn't eaten since the day before. So I was just like, so out of it between the drugs, the not eating, I did sleep a little bit when I was relaxing there. But I was like shot, and my doctor came back after an hour and he goes, Denise, he's like, I just went across the hall. And the girl across the hall, I turned off her meds and she pushed 3 times and the baby came out. And I was like, oh my goodness. I was like, let's just say my hand went up in the air with one specific finger up. And I essentially flipped off it wasn't even the doctor, it was just the situation. I'm like, forget this. This is ridiculous. Okay. Yeah. Now that's the kind of relationship my doctor and I have, that we can joke around and all that stuff. And after I apologize, like, don't worry. I deliver people in handcuffs. It was not the worst thing. You know, these doctors. Yeah. You know, if you're stationed at the hospital, you deliver everybody.
Yeah.
You know? So what do you think happened? I stayed in the bed. I pushed, inefficient pushing. Baby never dropped. I was dilated to 10 centimeters, but nothing happened. Okay. And then by the end of it, I was like, please give me the C-section. This is the worst day of my life. And then she came out and they lift her up. I'm like, oh my God, everybody's in the room. Oh my God, look at this big baby. I'm like, what is she, 100 pounds? Because I was so delirious. You know, that point, you're so delirious. So anyway, it was a girl. She was 9 pounds, 10 ounces. And it was a big baby. She never dropped down. I didn't move my body. And healthy baby, healthy mom, everybody's happy. And I'm just like, oh gosh, this is the best and the worst day of my life, right?
Yeah.
When you become a mom, it's just the best, but maybe not the best experience.
Yeah.
So that was my first birth. And at the time I was like, okay, it is what it is. I'll try harder for the second one. Now that I know what my body does, I'll VBAC. And my doc's like, that's fine. You can VBAC for the second. No problem. Okay, great. In between my first and my second, I actually was pregnant and I was 8 weeks. I went to the doctor, had a heartbeat, but my doc's like, come back in 2 weeks. Something's not right on here. I'm like, okay. I was like, I'm like going down the shore. Yeah. The Jersey Shore. With my family, you know, all 20 of us, big Greek family vacation. And I remember I was there and my doc's like, all right, I want you to come back after that because the baby's measuring a little small. I'm like, okay, no problem. I'm down there. And, you know, of course that baby didn't make it. And I wound up miscarrying while I was on vacation with my family. And I called my doctor and, you know, he was there for me and he would call me like every day and be like, checking in, how you doing? You know? And I thought that was something that doctors don't really do. And he's a special guy. Like he really felt, I felt like he really cared about me and cared for what was happening. So in between my first and second, that happened. And then I wound up getting pregnant with my second. And I was like, oh, I'm going to VBAC. Everything's going to be good. I took a labor and delivery course. I read my old textbooks because sometimes physical therapists will be part of labor.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm like, let me read up on this a little bit more. You take the course, fast forward 40 weeks. And I started, or woke up in the morning, it was 6 a.m. I'm like, oh, I feel something. I'm like, oh, this is great. But, you know, let me not call my doctor right now. Let me stay home. Let me do the movements. I'm bouncing on the physio ball. Of course, I have one of those. I am doing walking around, doing the stairs, doing lunges, doing different positions. I'm like, let me just see where this goes and like wait as long as I can. In touch with my doctor all the whole day. 7 o'clock comes around. My husband comes home from work. I call my doctor. He's like, okay, well, why don't you just come to the hospital? I'll check you. You've been in labor the whole day. I'm like, okay, that sounds good. Go to the hospital. Checks me. 0 centimeters dilated, 0. And I'm like, oh, come on. And my OB says to me, he's like, well, you know, you've tried. You did. He's like, but what do you want to do? You want to keep contracting on an old uterus scar and something bad happens?
Oh, dear. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. And at the time, you know, I didn't educate myself enough on this. I just thought that I thought it was me. I was like, I'm a physical therapist. I got this. I exercise every day. I'm good. Like, I'm going to do it. When he said that to me, I was like, no, I don't want something bad to happen.
Of course.
So essentially, I had a repeat C-section. Because I wasn't really in labor, is what I tell people. So yeah, that was my second, and he was fine. And this baby was 9 pounds 4 ounces, so another
staying
fairly large baby.
Ninth.
Yes. And you know, it was fine. You know, I felt like at the time I was like, you know what, I did everything I could. I didn't, you know, obviously now I know I could have done more, but at the time I was like, you know what, I did my best. And, you know, this is just my story and I'm fine with it. And it is what it is. I have been growing my business for a few years at that point, my pediatric physical therapy business here on Staten Island. And I felt like that was my third baby. You know, when you're a businesswoman, your business is like your child. And
100%. This business is one of my children. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, you know what? I have my boy and my girl. I have 3 Benjamins in the house. I have a healthy boy and girl. That's another thing too. You know, as a physical therapist, I see a lot of different things and all babies are really miracles. That's how I feel. All babies are amazing. And I'm like, you know what? I'm good. I'm like, I'm going to work on the business. I'm going to go back to work. You know, we have healthy babies. We're good. And you know that expression, you make plans and God laughs. Right? You know, and I was like, you know what? I wound up getting pregnant when I wasn't trying to get pregnant. I had been trying for the other two and I was nursing And that's another thing, you can't get pregnant, right?
A lot of people think.
Yeah. But, you know, it's funny. I got pregnant the month after my Yaya passed away. Yaya is Greek for grandma. And I was like, you know, this biatch just had to reincarnate herself. And she hit me. I'm like, why couldn't she get my cousins? You know, they don't have any kids. They can have kids. So I'm like, oh man, she reincarnated herself. She cursed me. Now, I don't think babies are a curse. It's just at the time that I was feeling all the feels.
You weren't in that space. Yeah.
I was like, you know, I was done having kids. I was like, oh my God, I can't get pregnant. I'm going to have another major abdominal surgery. Here we go. And, you know, also, Megan, I know you know, no one wants to watch more than one kid. So I was shocked.
Yeah.
I was shocked. So I was like, you know what? I did have two miscarriages, one before my first and one in between the first and second. Like, let me just see what happens. I'm not going to tell anybody. Let's see where it goes. You know, I'm not going to decide what to do now. I'll just wait a little while and see kind of what happens. And, you know, when you have two kids and you're pregnant with a third, that pregnancy flies. Wow.
So fast.
Very fast. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like almost in the third trimester. What am I going to do? Every appointment, my doc's like, Denise, when are we going to schedule your section? I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't like to pick baby's birthdays. For me, I rather the baby come when the baby's ready. And I wanted to go into labor at least and then get the C-section. And then I was like, you know, I got to this point where I was like, I have to make a decision here. Like, what am I doing? Am I going to just schedule a cesarean, or am I going to actually try to do this? So I'm like, let me look things up. I found you guys. I found out like women actually vaginal birth after two cesareans. Like, this does happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking with my own individualized plan here, because I'm like, I had no complications with either ones. I didn't have high blood pressure. I didn't have anything go bad. So I really felt like I was a great candidate. And then there's my doctor, and he's like, yeah, you're not a good candidate. Your baby never dropped. Your babies were big, and you didn't dilate on your own. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I know, but I just feel like I can do it. So this is something that I tell my patients all the time, that you need to listen to your mom intuition. There's nothing that can steer you wrong. If you feel like something's not wrong with your baby or yourself, you need to get that checked out. And it's probably nothing, and everything's going to be fine. But at the same time, like, the way that mom feels directly impacts baby. And I just felt like, you know what? I feel like I can do this. I feel drawn to this, and I'm going to go for it. And then the things that really drove me over the edge was my cousin had a successful VBAC at the beginning of my third trimester. So I was like, oh, if she can do it, I can do it. And then I also got in touch with the doula who I had been talking with professionally. And I was like, We met, and she said something to me that I'll never forget, which is, I have total and complete trust in your body's ability to birth. And I'm like, no one's ever said that to me. I've only been told I don't dilate and my pelvis is too small and I grow too big babies. Not, you grow really healthy babies, very chunky ones with lots of rolls, and that's the best. Or not, like, you know, I was never told that. And I'm like, you know what? If anyone can do this, it's me. I trust in myself. I gotta go for it. This is my last chance, because if I got another section, then it would be my tubes tied and that would be the end of the road. And that would be fine with me too, because I don't really want more than three abdominal surgeries anyway. So yeah, I made that decision to go forth with trying to achieve my VBAC. And I have to tell you, I left all my cards on the table. There was like no stone left unturned. I went in, I stopped working like in September, and I used all of October to prepare myself mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Like, I would be reading, like, even on the VBAC, like the Facebook group, like all the things people did. I didn't do everything. Listen, you only have so much time in the day when you have two kids already, but at least doing things that felt right for me and my body.
Love that you pointed that out, because there are so many things, right? We even suggested here at the VBAC link, we're like, here's a whole list of things you can do to improve. And Gina, I'm sure as a doula, you have things that you suggest to your VBAC clients. And I know I do too. But it can get a little overwhelming, honestly. And two, like you said, time is a thing. But three, here's a list. Pick what's appropriate for you, right? And if every
That
single
doesn't
one
feel
of
like
those
work.
things is a right? Yes. If every single thing is achievable, great. If not, pick some, go with it. Right?
Yeah, so and there's like a thousand bajillion things you can do.
There really
so
is.
I like I said, I picked what was right for me. I met with my doula. We did like a pre-labor class specific for my body and how I would plan to move my body based off of my anatomy. Like I know I'm a little like asymmetrical from holding a baby on one hip. I'm like, oh, I gotta get that checked out, all this stuff. So, you know, I prepared a lot and it was actually fun now that I'm looking back. You know, I listened to you guys. I listened to other podcasts. I watched documentaries. I read books. I tried to do what felt right for me. And then also educating myself on, you know, papers and even looking up my own research about different things that they tell you to watch out for when you're trying to achieve something that I achieved. And I've,
Out of the list, sorry to interrupt you. Out of the list, what were maybe your top three things that you're like, these were the best things? I mean, obviously you hired a doula and you got some education. What are, in addition to those, some top three things that you did that you felt really, really impacted the situation?
So the top things for me was I got my mind solid. Like I literally was like, Denise, you can do this. Like, and there was no, well, I had an intention. I think I listened to that. Oh God, what's her name? Hensi Gower.
Oh, Hensi Gower.
Yes. Okay. I listened to that
so
podcast before, like maybe the week before. And she said something like, have an intention, but not a goal. Because when you don't get it and it's a goal, then you feel all the feels. You feel like you failed. So I had an intention, but I also had a feeling of, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to try. I'm just going to do. I'm an athlete as well. So if you're an athlete or you're someone who pushes yourself physically, you can labor naturally, like I did. I'm telling you, you can. You know, like when you're on the treadmill and you're just running and you're just trying, you just keep going, keep going, keep going. It's the same thing in labor. If you mentally train yourself with the physical, you're going to be successful. So my top three tips would be get your mind solid and really find your why. Why do I want this be back? How is it going to feel? What's it going to be like? Imagine it. And then two, get your body right. And then three, prepare for any situation they throw at you because they're going to throw things at you to make you sway the other way. They're going to tell you can't do it. They're going to tell you, as I'll get into my story, when you get to the hospital, if you're delivering at a hospital, they're going to throw things at you. And you know what? I'm not even mad at the doctors in the hospital and the nurses, because honestly, I really feel like doctors are really great people. They're not bad people at all. They're good people. And the nurses, they're part of birth. Like this is the most sacred part of healthcare in my head. Also palliative care and hospice is important too, but birth is really so important. Unfortunately though, there's policies in place and there's rules and regulations. So I think everybody's just doing their best with that. But yeah, my top tips would be mind solid, body solid, and prepare for anything they're going to say and throw at you because they're going to come.
Yeah. Because it's probably going to come. I love that. We, in our VBAC course, we focus so much on the mental prep too. Because I think a lot of times we're actually more focused on that physical prep and like what we can do as a body. But I think that the mental part connects so deeply to the physical part.
Yes.
That we cannot skip it.
No, you cannot.
Yeah.
I skipped it with my second. Look what happened. I had a repeat section.
Hi, birth workers. This one's for you. In an ideal world, VBAC parents would be treated just like any other birthing parents. In today's world, most medical providers sadly don't fully support VBAC parents. However, 90% of parents with a prior cesarean are good candidates to attempt a VBAC. This is why we have created the Advanced VBAC Doula Certification Program. In this doula course, we share evidence-based data for you to educate your clients, teach you the tools on helping them how to process past fears and trauma, or helping them decide if VBAC is even right for them. You will feel better prepared to support them during this beautiful experience. All VBAC certified doulas are listed on our website so parents know who you are. To learn more, go to thevbaclink.com.
So yeah, that's that. So I guess I'll get into my third birth now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So another healthy pregnancy, uncomplicated. Everything was fine. I get to my third trimester. That's when I decided to go for the VBAC. I'm doing all the things, like I said, and I get to 40 weeks. I get to 40 plus one, 40 plus two. I go to the doctor and I'm like, I'm not going to get checked today. I want to just talk to him. So he comes in the room, arms folded, you know? And I'm like, he's like, what is it? What is going on? He's like, you don't want a schedule. I'm like, doc, I want you to know that I have so much respect for what you do. And it was essentially like I did a fear release, which you talk about in the course as well. It's so important. And like holding things back and preventing it from labor. So I essentially did a fear release with my doctor where I told him that I loved him and I respected him. And I don't think I know more than you, because I definitely don't. I don't know how to cut through and do all this surgery and everything. I'm a conservative health profession. Okay. We don't do any surgeries, no blood, no thanks. And I just said that to him. I said, you know, I don't think I know more than you. I just feel like I just feel like I can't schedule it. And I feel like there's things that I can do. And, you know, we talked about successful VBAC after two cesareans at the hospital. And it was essentially, you have to get there when you're pretty much ready to push. And they're going to try and give you a section, and they're going to try and give the epidural, and they're going to try and do all the things, and they're going to try and meddle. That's what the hospital does. You come to the hospital with pain, you're given pain medicine because it's like part of hospital regulations and all that stuff. And I was like, okay, like he gave me my answer. And it was too late to switch at that point. I mean, I was thinking about switching to a midwife and having the birth at home, but that's just something I know my husband would really never go for. He was already scared that something bad was going to happen to me and the baby, because that's what he was told at the appointments. So we did essentially a fear release on the 7th. And then the 8th of November, I woke up with that same cramping I had with my second. So I'm like, oh, this is something. I think like the fear release must have worked. Yes. Awesome. All right. Let's just see how this goes today, because I have to just keep my mind right. I have to go about my day. That's what everybody in every single successful VBAC link story said they did. I walk my daughter to school. I take my son for a walk around the block. I'm doing the curb walking. I did the mile circuit. I did I ate my dates and my tea. I did a normal day, just like kind of ignored it. And the contractions would kind of get closer together and then get farther apart and then change in intensity. So I'm like, okay, this is promodal labor. I think I said that right.
Prodromal.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay.
So I'm like, okay, this is what this is. I'm like, I'm just going to rest. And that evening I put the kids to sleep and I was like, let me try to rest, because I don't know what's tomorrow going to bring, if I'm going to be normal and everything's going to be fine, or I'm actually going to like do this. So I go to sleep. I wake up 2 hours later, 12 o'clock. And between 12 and 4 a.m., I was laboring by myself, just up. I didn't want to wake up my husband because I didn't want to go to the hospital too soon. And I didn't want to wake up the kids, obviously, because no one wants to be around them when you're in labor, right? It's like, or maybe you do. I don't know. So I'm like, okay, I'm in and out of the bath. I'm trying to manage my contractions. I'm in the shower for an hour. I'm in the bath for an hour. I'm trying to stand. And everything was worse than sitting. So 4 a.m. comes. I'm like, oh, I think these are getting closer together. I like download the contraction timer on my phone. I'm like, oh, let me actually time these. It's like 5 minutes apart. I'm like, okay, let me text my doula, text her. But you know, when you're past 40 weeks and then everybody's texting you like, how you doing? Did you go into labor yet? All the questions. And I'm like, I had turned my phone on the do not disturb thing like a day before, because I'm like, I can't take any more of these questions. Like, I already have my own anxiety and stress about this. So I had turned my phone on do not disturb. I called her, or I texted her, and then she texted and called me back. And I'm like, I wasn't getting any message because I turned my phone on the not disturb. Yeah, I was like, oh, goodness. 7 a.m. comes around, or 6 a.m. And I finally get in touch with her and I text my mom, like, can you please come here? My doula gets there. And at this point, I'm like, you know, I'm trying to just focus on my breath like we've practiced. I'm like, okay, breathe in. Breathe out. What do the voices do? Like, trying to like do whatever I can to try and manage this pain. I didn't want to go to the hospital like at all at that point, but I didn't want to go too early. And when my doula got there, it was like a complete 180. Oh my gosh. She came, she did the pain pressure points. She massaged, she got the essential oils. She did the Rebozo thing. Like, I put on my Folklore and Evermore soundtracks, okay, for my Swifties in here. And I was just jamming. It was like I was on the treadmill running, you know, like I used to do back when I was young and had better knees. You know, just like it was great. I could have stayed there forever. I probably did it for an hour because I remember I listened to both albums and I was just fine. I was leaning on the physio ball, everything was good. Like, man, I should have tried to have a home birth. Oh, well, I'm not going for a fourth. So, no home birth for me. So, my doula is like, all right, Denise, like, do you want to try to bring baby down? We'll try some different positions. I'm like, yes, let's do it. Because I knew that was going to be one of the things. I go into like my stairs. I have one leg up, one leg down. I go to down on the floor into like a half kneel position. And I'm like, okay, let's do this contraction. Breathe in. Contraction comes. Pop. Water pops. Water breaks. I'm like, oh my gosh. There's just water. That never happened before. My water just broke. Wow, this is amazing. I'm like, okay, let's go get changed. And my doula's like, okay, it's time to go to the hospital. I'm like, oh my God, this is great. Like I'm really getting on my way. Go upstairs, change. She's like, okay, we got to move. My mom's like, come on, Denise, we got to go to the hospital now. Come on. My mom was very anxious. And I said to her, I said, Mom, I know it's your birthday, but I'm trying to be nice to you, but please don't push me. If I'm not ready to go to the hospital, I'm not going to go. I love my mom. She's my best friend. And she really just cares for me. So, and well, what she, you know,
a lot of the time that's how, like, it's like, if you're in this much labor, you go to the hospital, right?
Right,
like that's how they were raised too.
Right. Exactly. And that's fine. And it's just like, I knew I didn't want to go. And also I think the day before I listened to your podcast with Julie about going to the hospital and how everything shifts from you're at home, you're so calm, cool, collected, everything's good. Then you got to get to the hospital, it's like, bam, intervention, do stress, blah, 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 like talking at you. And
touching,
like,
talking,
yes,
questions, meddling, lights, new
yes,
voices, new space, new smells. You have to reacclimate.
Right. So that was fresh in my brain too. I'm like, I'm going to go when I'm ready. All right. Anyway, we're ready. We're ready to go. Let's go. I get in my husband's car. My mom's in the back seat. My doula drove herself because she was going to leave from the hospital when it was done. And so I live in New York City. There's traffic everywhere. It's like Thursday at 10 a.m. And there really shouldn't be traffic then. But of course there was. So, and I couldn't sit, right? It's because everything was getting worse. So I'm like leaning on my husband's truck, like with my arms, like in the middle and my butt, like at the window. God help whoever was like next to us in the car. Like, what is happening over there? Meanwhile, my mom's in the backseat crying. And I'm like in between. And I had lost control of my breath. So I was just literally screaming between during contractions. I was like, ah, like I was at a concert, like, except it wasn't fun. And, you know, I was said to my mom while she's like in the back, I'm like, Mom, I'm okay. The baby is getting ready to come out. It's going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. The baby's fine. I'm fine. See, I can talk in between contractions. Just when it comes, it's very strong. She's like, I know. I'm just, it's okay. It's all right. Poor mom on her birthday. That's what she told me. She thought I was going to have the baby in the car. That's
I'm
what
sure
she thought.
She did. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, oh my God, there's a police cop over there. Flag him down. Flag him down. She's like, open the window. But then we already passed. Like, it was like quite a scene, actually, now that I think about it. Anyway, we get to the hospital. And of course, there's construction at the hospital. So it takes me 10 minutes to walk up to L&D. Now, this is the hospital I used to work at. So I'm just like I'm like, oh God, please don't let anybody see me like this. My old coworkers, my old boss, please. Let me just get up to L&D. Please, please. All right, I make it up. It takes me 10 minutes, but I make it up there. Probably it was like 10:45 a.m. And I get there and the nurse is like, come on, hon, let's get into the room. And I have a contraction. I'm like, please wait. She's like pushing me. She's like, come on, come on. I'm like, please don't push me. I'm in active stages of labor. Right? Who do I think I am? I like know stuff. Think I'm know stuff. I'm like,
you do know stuff. you do know stuff.
Thank you. So I was like, I get into the room and girls, I'm not joking. There's like 12, 15 people in that room with me. And they're all talking at me. Do you want the epidural? Do you want the C-section? We need to give you an IV. We need your insurance card. Where am I going? You're going to get my insurance card. Relax. Everybody, chill. Because you can't get a bracelet on me. Everybody knows who I am. The doctor's been talking about me probably for days. And it's fine. You're going to get the insurance card, right? Meanwhile, I'm in such late stages of labor at that point. I'm contracting every 30, 40 a minute. I forget. And I was like, please, I prepared for this. I knew they were going to come at me like this. Not me specifically. It's not a personal thing. It's just what I was.
They do. It's just what they do.
It's just what they do.
And your label.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not offended. I'm not like taking it personally. This is just, and I was ready for it though. I knew how they were going to come at me. So I had a plan, which was don't say no and shut down. Cause I also heard along my journey, like, don't say no, like, and don't have negative energy. I knew I was going to be, you're not able to control other people's feelings, but you're able to control yourself. So when they came at me like that, I was like, please just give me a second. Can you wait a minute? Let me get through this contraction. Or like, I just want a second. Not right now. Like, oh, I had all the things listed of what I was going to say when they came at me. Or it came, that's a bad word. When they said things, I just knew how they were going to say things.
Were approaching you. You knew your response wasn't going to be no. It was, I prefer, not right now, in just one moment.
Exactly.
You know, like stuff like that versus just like, no, get away, you know?
Right. Exactly. It could have been like that, but I wanted to bring my baby into the world in the most positive way that I could. And that's just how I approach it. So I'm like, just check me before you do all these interventions. Just check me. Checks me. I'm 9 centimeters. Okay. I'm like, oh my God, what's that? I dilated by myself. My doula's like, that's amazing. My OB's like, yeah, but the baby's really high. I didn't even hear him say that. She told me he said that after. I think I was blocking out a lot of negative things on purpose. That was one of the things that I mentally prepared for. So, you know, he's like, oh, but the baby's really high. I'm like, okay, just give me a second. And the anesthesiologist is like, let's give you the epidural for insurance. I'm like, okay, just not right now. Just give me a second. Like, let me just, then they're like, the baby's heart rate is dropping. I knew they were going to say that too. And I was like, okay, well, what's it dropping to and what's it coming back up to? And when they said something that was like essentially normal, mm-hmm. I said, it's a 9-pound baby in there. Of course its heart rate is dropping. It's being contracted by a strong uterus to get it out. Give it a second. And I don't remember saying this, but my doula said that I said this, which is, I'm okay. My baby's okay. I know no one in this room thinks that I can do it, but I can. Okay. And I was like, that's what I verbalized. I don't really remember saying that, but I was like outside my body, I guess. And she's like, I got the chills when you said that because everybody was so anxious in that room and only you held it together. I was like, well, yeah, I knew what was going to happen. I worked in the hospital for 7 years. I get it. There's litigation, there's policies in place, and people are scared for their jobs. I get it. It's fine. So anyway, that went on for about a half an hour. And then the nurse who like pushed me in the hallway that I wasn't so nice to, she's like, all right, Denise, can we try a position? I was like, yes, please. Yes, let's do it. Let's try a position, please. That's all that I want. She gets the peanut ball and I go onto my side into internal rotation where you put your knees together and you have your feet on the physio ball that opens up the outlet of the pelvis to get the baby to drop down. I already know all these things, but no one had offered it. And I wasn't thinking straight to even bring it up. And I was like, I flip into the position and the anesthesiologist is like, can I give you the epidural while you're on your side? I'm like, no. I'm like, not right now.
Still pushing this epidural. Out of my room, sir or ma'am. Yeah.
I know. I didn't push anybody out because I was like, I don't have time for that. I was focused on what I had to focus on and what I came here to do. So I go on my side, one contraction. And I'm like, I think I have to poop. And I like was saying it, but I was like, I've had that feeling, that baby drop feeling, but I really thought that it was number two. So they flip me on my back and they're like, all right, hold your knees up to your chest. And I'm like, I don't like this position. Remember, this is the position I told you guys with my first that they put me in to push baby and that didn't work. And I had like PTSD from it. I'm like, I was like, I don't like this position. They're like, just try it. And I hear my doula say to me, Denise, Jay, breathe. I'm like, oh my God, that's the cue. That's the cue that I need to push the breath that I need to push this baby out. That's the cue we talked about. Oh my God, it's almost over. It's almost here. And then I hear the whole room kind of shift, and my OB says, "All right, well, she wants to have a vaginal birth. Let's do it." And I hear my husband say, now my husband was very nervous about this whole situation. He wasn't really talking. He was there, but he wasn't really saying anything. And I hear him say, everyone was saying push, push, but I hear him specifically say, push, push. Breathe in, breathe out, push the right way. This 9 pound, 5 ounce baby shot right out of me. The doctor didn't even catch him. He landed on the table. I didn't know that, but I heard later. And, you know, that was it. I said, baby, baby. They let me hold my baby right away. We did skin to skin. My husband cut the cord. I got to call out the gender. And you feel the room anxiety shift. The anesthesiologist leaves.
Of course. He's done.
He's done. And the whole energy of the room just shifts into, oh, okay. You know, she did it. All right.
Yeah. It's actually possible. Maybe we shouldn't doubt her.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't mean that like in a negative way, but there is so much anxiety and nervousness about birth, whether if you don't educate yourself enough about it, like I did or didn't do with my first and second. And then even in the L&D room, like things can go wrong. This is a big baby. He could have gotten stuck. You know, I don't know. So many things can happen. But yeah, when the air of the room like changed, it was just great. Everybody left. My doc stitched me up. I got to nurse the baby right away. And the nurse said something to me. She's like, wow. She's like, you're such a strong woman. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm a woman of strength now. I can say that. And she's like, wow, you're a really strong woman. I'm surprised the doctor let you have a Tolac. And I said, oh no, honey, this was not his choice. This was my choice. Yes. And you know, my choice was not the same choice I recommend for everybody. I put in a lot of work for this, obviously, as I've said, and it's not really for everybody, and that's okay. It's okay to have the birth that you feel the safest and the most comfortable, because this is your start into motherhood. But if anyone feels inspired today, I'm glad that I was able to help with that. And, you know, obviously I joke around, and my OB, I still love him. He came into my room the next day. He's like, here's the champion. Like, yeah, you know, and he said, he's like, listen, you're the right person to do it. You put in the work and you knew what to do. Yeah. But it's,
you put in the work and knew what to do.
Yeah. So that's my story.
Oh my gosh. I love it. You know,
perfect.
Yeah. Right. And, I mean, Gina, tell me about your area. Like, do you guys have a lot of unsupportive hospitals and providers kind of in this way where they like come in and you would expect a scenario like Denise's?
Probably not quite. They're actually gotten a lot better. And they're pretty supportive even after two C-sections. We do have supportive providers for that and hospitals for that. It's not unheard of. It's not like, oh, you can't do this.
Right.
Yeah.
And that is the case in so many places.
Yes.
Like in Denise's situation.
Yeah, New York City.
Mm-hmm. New York City.
And New Jersey as well. In New Jersey, if you have two cesareans, you cannot be with a midwife. It's not allowed.
Yeah.
We even here in Utah, which is a supportive VBAC after two cesarean state, but some of those hospitals also do that. They're like, oh no, if you're a VBAC in general, you can't be with a midwife, or it's a little frustrating. We have a lot of work to do, but Denise, I bet you probably didn't change your provider's perspective completely on VBAC. I bet the next VBAC after two cesarean mama that came in, he likely may have said, no, not going to happen. But you never know. He might have been like, you know, okay, we can try it, you know? And it takes us to, I feel like it sometimes takes us to show the world that it's possible, that it can be safe, it's reasonable. Our bodies are amazing, you know? And so many of the things you could have had, you know, with the heart rate or the baby's not coming down or a bigger baby or whatever, like all these things could have stalled you up. And you're like, no, I can do this. You put the power in your pocket and took the lead.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, someone, I also read this along the way too, is that I had three births. My doctor has been to like 20,000 births.
Right.
Okay. Does he remember my birth? Probably, because it was so dramatic.
Monumental for him.
And, yeah. You know, I'm his special patient, as he calls me. And, you know, he probably, but it's not like the top of his, like, he's on to the next thing, you know, and that's okay. This is his job. This is what he does. And like I said, he's not a bad person. He just wants to control the situation so he can make it the most safe, in his opinion. But for me, I felt like by the end of it, my grandmother didn't curse me. She blessed me with an opportunity, you know, and my son is, of course, named after her and a lot of other amazing people like my dad. And I just feel like you have to make your own story your own, and you have to be comfortable with what you feel comfortable doing. And I was more comfortable staying with a provider and a hospital that I knew wasn't going to be like, oh yeah, Denise, you can do it. But I knew in myself that if I believed in myself and I did the work and put in the work, I could do it. And it worked out for me, but it's, and I wish I had that for three births, but you know, at least I had it for one.
Right.
And I get to come on here and share it with everybody that they cannot convenient. Have the same experience I did.
Yeah, that's really kind of how I feel. I'm like, yeah, I didn't have the experience that I wanted for birth number one and birth number two, but it brought me here today, and that's okay. Like, that's okay. So you have said that you have even more detail of your story on your website. Can you tell everybody, and we'll have it in the show notes, but can you tell everybody where, if they want to read more details about your story, where they can find that?
Absolutely. So my business is Milestones in Motion, PTW.com. And on there, I have, like, you know, blogs about lots of different things, but I decided to write my birth story, which took me the entire fourth trimester because I had three kids by then. I wasn't sleeping, you know, all the things. But yeah, it's like completely unedited version and a few more details. And, you know, if anyone ever wants to reach out to me, I do have resources and working on some like virtual stuff with the business. So if you have any issues post-birth, like with baby, tummy time, crawling, all that stuff, I have some resources up on there for you guys if anyone wants to check that out.
Yeah.
And just reading the story, I mean, reading and listening to stories like on this podcast were like really made the difference for me too. So thank you.
Oh my gosh.
For doing it.
Thank you. And like I said before, we'll have her link in the show notes so you can go and check it out. I love that you're pointing out like tummy time and all of those things that you can help with. And then Cute Gina actually is going to be talking about some gut microbiome and how, well, and the effects of it and what birth could do and all these things. So Gina, I'd love to turn the time over to you to add this extra topic.
Thank you. So one of the reasons that we want to try to avoid unnecessary cesarean births is because of the impact that that type of delivery can have on a newborn's long-term health. So some of the outcomes that we know can be associated with C-section births are increased risk of diabetes, obesity, and asthma. And there's some research that indicates that those increased risks are because of the way the newborn's gut microbiome develops after a C-section versus after vaginal birth. So the microbiome is basically an ecosystem of bacteria and other microorganisms that live in a digestive tract. For a C-section birth, where the amniotic sac hasn't even been broken before you get to surgery, the baby basically has no exposure to any of the flora that are in the vagina, which they would get in contact with if they were coming through the vaginal canal. So that's part of what helps to populate that healthy gut microbiome, get this healthy bacteria in there for the newborn. The other part that we know builds that healthy microbiome is actually the contact the newborn has with the perineum. So if you think about it, the perineum, like where it is in relation to your anus, which is the exit of your digestive tract, that's where those bacteria are going to be. So the baby also gets that exposure. So it's kind of a combination of all of it. And in a C-section birth, sometimes they get none of it or only part of it. So that's what seems to be a trigger for some of those outcomes that we see long-term for people that if they had a C-section birth. So with all that said, is there anything we can do about it? Actually, yes, there is. There are a few things. One of the things that I do with my doula clients is I discuss the choices that they have for their birth, and we use that to draft birth plans. I make sure we cover options for spontaneous vaginal birth as well as induction, And also C-section, because reality is some babies are going to be born via C-section, and I don't want anybody unprepared for it or not knowing what their options are to make it a better birth experience than just like a sterile surgical procedure. So we have documented preferences for each of those outcomes. There's a few things that I make sure we include in a family-centered C-section birth plan that helps support that healthy newborn microbiome. And I learned about that somewhat from VBAC Link doula training. And also, I attended a conference earlier this year called Microbirth. And it was basically 2 days worth of people talking about newborn microbiome and how breastfeeding helps with it and everything. So it was fascinating. So the first option that I make sure we include in the C-section birth plan is to delay the use of the prophylactic antibiotics. So that's what they give you like ahead of time to try and prevent an infection from coming on from surgery. That's not a bad idea, but when we do it like right away before the baby's born, before the cord's been cut, they could also get some of those antibiotics, and that will interfere with their ability to build those bacteria in their gut. So one of the ways that we can easily manage that is just delay it. Make sure that they don't give us antibiotics until after baby's out and cord's been clamped. So we know that they've gotten all of their blood and they're not getting anything else from the surgery or anything else through the IV. And in most non-emergency C-sections, that should be an absolutely reasonable request because it's just a matter of timing. You're not trying to tell them, don't give it to me. It's just a matter of when. And all they do is just push it through your IV. So it's even possible for probably some emergency ones, depending on how much time they have. So that's one of the really important ones that helps all the other suggestions. The
Fascinating.
other one, yeah, that we include in the birth plan is vaginal seeding. And I know that's part of the VBAC Link course. So vaginal seeding is basically using like the gauze or a swab in the vagina to collect the fluids that are there prior to surgery. And then you use that and you wipe it on the newborn's face and you make sure you get it in and around their mouth and nose, the same way they would be exposed to it if they came through the vagina and during birth. That helps to transfer that to the baby. You can also make that even more effective if you make sure you include the perineum. So maybe like after you do the vagina one, make sure you include the perineum swab as well. So you get all of it at one time and transfer it to the baby. There's a couple of times where, some things that you don't want to use this for. So if the birthing parent has like group B strep or genital herpes, especially if they have an active outbreak, some of those conditions that we know pose a risk to newborns, this wouldn't be a good idea. You don't want to introduce that just to try and get the flora there. It can be difficult to get the hospital to participate in this directly. I believe it's ACOG has said it's still under research. So unless you're actually being supervised, you shouldn't be doing this. But if you include it in your birth plan and you actually want to do it yourself, like you can get the gauze, you can get the swabs, you can do it. And you can either you or your partner can then do it for the newborn. Like they can't stop you
Yeah.
from doing it yourself,
We've had
but they may not
clients.
participate.
They usually don't. We've had clients that have ordered the stuff, like the gauze and everything online. And then, like in Denise's situation, where she's like, I want to labor at home as long as possible, all this stuff. They did it right before. They like washed hands really, really well, got gloves even, and did it, put it in a bag and
In a
put it in their
baggie.
hospital baggie. 'Cause in case it does go a cesarean route or whatever. They had it, and then they don't even have to like deal with the
Same.
staff.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's always those types of things where you can take it upon yourself and do it yourself. So, yeah, like you mentioned, kind of doing it at home would be a great idea because you want to make sure that you've done it and that the swab and everything is out before they start prepping you for surgery because they'll use those like sterile cleansing options and that'll kind of destroy some of it. So always make sure you do it beforehand if you can. And then the last thing that I talk about, which isn't necessarily part of the birth plan, but it's a really effective way to help restore and build a healthy microbiome for the baby, is probiotics. So you can start them yourself prenatally. You can have a prenatal probiotic that you take and you continue using it while you're lactating because it will help transfer to the baby as well. There's one that I know Needed offers. That's
And
supplement
theirs is
group.
a pre and probiotic. I
Yes.
really love it.
Yeah.
I take it myself.
Yeah, so that one's on my list of options that I give to people. You know, I have a few different ones that I've looked into that have the right mix of bacteria that they're looking for. So that's a great one to use. And the other one is you can actually have probiotics for a newborn. And that's going to be really pretty effective if you have a C-section baby. That's one of the most well-researched ways of helping rebuild that microbiome for them, especially if you're using it in combination with breastfeeding. Because human milk has the perfect sugars to feed those bacteria that we're looking for. So it's a really great combination. So there are a lot of infant probiotic options out there, and not all of them have the right mix of bacteria or the right type of bacteria that we know research shows has, you know, comes through vaginal birth and is also associated with good long-term health outcomes. So there's one that they've studied the most as being effective is in Australia. It's called Imfloran. You can buy it online, and I'll provide the links as well. But I also have a couple of others that have, you know, similar makeups that you can use. That's what I have to
Cool.
say about that. But it's a very
Awesome.
fascinating topic, and love to see
Yes.
even some of the negative outcomes of C-sections be improved by things that we've learned along the way.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for
You're
sharing this with
welcome.
us. And Denise, thank you for sharing your stories and your VBAC and your journey and all your tips. You guys are so incredible, and I'm so grateful for you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Interested in sharing your VBAC? Head over to the vbaclink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to the vbaclink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.